Okay, I think I'm ready.
Okay. There we go. Okay, well, I'm going to call the Finance and Judiciary Committee to order. It's Thursday, October 7th. Looks like it's 6:32 p.m. So, welcome everybody for being here that could make it out tonight. Thank you, Mike, for preparing our agenda and getting these items back before us that we requested. So, is there any changes to the agenda?
Not for me.
Okay, me either. You have the minutes there from September 2nd before us. Is there any changes to those minutes that we need to...
They're fine. You want to make a consensus?
Actually, I do have one correction.
Good eye.
Yeah, I read the 9.
The reference to the 9-2 meeting at the beginning of the list should be the 8-5 meeting. So I got to find that. Oh, shoot. I should have wrote down where that was. But just note that there is a reference to where the committee was looking at the 8-5 committee minutes. And I missed that. I apologize for not writing down the page and paragraph that was on.
Well, that's fine. At least you caught it. So, are you going to make that edit then?
Yeah, I'll make that edit.
Okay. I didn't catch that. So, as far as everything else, I thought it was fine. And it sounds like Councilor Thomas feels the same way. Okay. Great.
Oh, I found it. It's on page 3, and it's in the it's near the end, just before item number 1 there, towards the bottom. So that's what it was.
Oh, September 2nd.
Yeah.
That's the 5th.
Yeah, it should have been the prior months. So anyway, I'll make that change.
August 5th, sure. Good.
Okay.
That brings us back to a continuing discussion of the court. So, Director Crocker.
Okay, thank you. So, I brought back a couple of items for you to review, and so they summarized the changes that the committee discussed at their June and April committee meetings. And then once you got through the revenue allocation discussion, then we were to bring this back. So the first attachment, so you've got two charts, the blue and the gray one. The blue one is the budget and the forecast for court as it is now, so before any changes to it. And then the gray chart is the one that includes the changes as you have discussed previously, so from that April and June meeting, and I've incorporated those into these numbers. And the main, you know, place to see the changes, if you look at the ending fund balance on the blue chart and look at that trend across there, over the 5-6 years, and then look at the same line on the gray chart, you'll see that the gray chart ends in 26-27 at a positive $140,000 ending fund balance. Mm-hmm. So that's the net of all the changes. And then the last chart, second chart attached, is basically a little more detailed And also it has the a list of the changes. So you have the, so looking across it where you see a green cell, those are the places where the changes that you reviewed are incorporated. So those are the cells that would have changed. And then the orange columns are past year's actual results. And then the blue column is the current year's budget. And then the yellow columns, of course, are the forecast going forward. And you see at the bottom right, the same $140,000. And then at the bottom of that chart, you'll see a list of what those changes were. So the property taxes allocation increased by 2%. General revenue increased by 2%. Personnel, the 20% allocated away from court to administration. And then the reduction in M&S that we talked about, $5,000, and a small reduction in contingency. So you take that list, and that is what's in all those green cells. So are there any questions about either of those charts or the changes we've talked about?
I'm going to hold it just for a second while we absorb this. And then, feel free to comment if you have any comments or questions, Councillor Thomas. I'm going to.
It's pretty cut and dry.
I think so too, and it looks like what we talked about a couple months ago. I guess it's a few months ago now. So, but you're right, we wanted to get through the other discussion too, so we did that. I like it. I think increasing just a quick review in case somebody listens to this or has the notes. The council tasked this committee with discussing the budget for the court because, as you can see from these documents, it was going into a bigger and bigger hole. Councilor or Administrator Canope and Director Crocker brought some suggested changes back to the June meeting. We've had a lot of time to think about it now, and I feel the same way Councilor Thomas feels. I think it's a good change. It gets this area of the city government out of the hole. And it's a good combination. The big part of the change was the fact that we allocated some of the staff time in a different direction that allowed us to hopefully tackle some of those projects that Director Crocker has piling up on his desk. Hopefully that ends up working out well and you get more of that staff time you need to tackle those. But also that adjustment to the overall bucket system, tweaking that by the 2% also helps. So the combination of those two things solves the issue right here. So, I mean, there's a couple other smaller items too, but that's the big two, I think.
Yeah.
Well, okay. I don't have any further discussion about it. I think it's a good time to take it back to council for the discussion at that level.
Well, now I have a question because you were saying, because it says personnel reduced by 20% and then reduced 5,000 a year for the contingency and the M&S. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be less staff, right?
Well, the proposal was that the staff would be, that the allocation would be reduced to court, and the person would be working 20% in administration.
Okay.
So it's not a reduction to anybody's hours or the court clerk's hours. It just means that we're going to utilize that person in another area, so where we have available budget too.
That jogged my memory.
So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
So the next step would be to council and Council, it looks like, is going to review the revenue allocations at the second meeting in October. Mm-hmm. So, and then I was thinking of taking this to council in November. Mm-hmm. So that would, give them a chance to have already seen the revenue allocations.
Yeah, I like that plan, just like we handled it in here, that same order, so people can see the first one and then bring this one around next. Okay, well, thank you very much for doing that. Let's really good. Let's move on to the budget officer annual appointment.
Okay. So this is one that I've been thinking about actually for a couple of years. And the issue is that the charter designates the budget officer as the person that compiles the budget and brings it to council. And in fact, I gave you the exact, quote there in the AIS. And Oregon budget law just specifies that you have to have a budget officer. It doesn't say how you designate who that person is. It does recognize that a lot of cities do have it in their charter. And so I've always felt like it seemed a little odd that the charter has that wording in it. But yet the finance director comes to council every about December and asks you to reappoint. And so I've always thought that was kind of a conflict. So I wanted to get, somebody else's opinion. And, historically, the budget officer reappointment has been done every year. But the question is, do we need to do that appointment each year? I think it's unlikely that the council would want to do anything else, I would think. There's never any discussion about it. It's just a motion, and we go on. But so that's my question, and I appreciate input or discussion. If you wanted the full council, I guess your options would be if you wanted the full council to talk about it or continue the current process.
Good. So once again, thank you for bringing this to us. This is our first time talking about this in the committee. So this isn't something, it's something that's been on the forecaster for a while, but we got it onto the schedule this month so that we could have that discussion if there is one, right? So
to me, it kind of seems like a waste of time because it says the council, why appoint a budget officer when the city administrator is already designated through the charter, mm-hmm. and Mike.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I appreciate you putting that the language right from the charter in there. That seems very, very clear that the city administrator and I haven't been around that long, but I've never heard a single item of discussion on the topic when you bring it to the council every year. So.
I've been here 11 years, and I don't think there's ever been any discussion on it.
I don't even know what somebody could possibly discuss, because it says in the charter that that's the city administrator. I guess if we didn't have a city administrator, we'd have to change the charter, but we do, so. Yeah, so I don't have anything to say about it other than send it to council, unless anybody wants to discuss it more.
Okay, I can take that to council then.
Thank you, sir. Mm-hmm. Which brings us to an item that's now coming back. We discussed this at length. A little bit at another meeting, so I'm glad to see the RLF fund procedure for committee members. This has been a good topic of late, and we've had lots of discussion in a couple different places on it. So Mike, Director Cocker, I mean, tell us what you're bringing back to us.
So if you want to set the attachment A is some minutes, council minutes from 2018. And so if you want to set that to one side and then have the attachment B, the revolving loan criteria in front of you. I'm going to answer Councilor Gamby's question from the last meeting. So you noted that where it was talking about eligible projects in section 1D, item 1, and that's I'm on page 2 of the criteria. It noted that eligible projects needed to be within the Junction City urban growth boundary. And then on page 3, I believe, the next page, under item 2 in the last bullet point, where it's talking about ineligible projects, it states projects outside of the Junction City limits. So I looked up the minutes when that was discussed back in 2018, and you'll see there that, at least as I understand them, I read through the whole thing, there was a lot of discussion there, and they specifically talked about that, projects that needed to be within the Junction City limits or the urban growth boundary. And there was a motion to that effect, and they wanted it in the urban growth boundary. So then I kind of followed up on the staff changes as they were made. And if you read all of it, you can see where staff made the updates, but they just seemed to miss the one on page 3. So
oh, I see.
What that really should read, so my suggestion is that we just change it to what the motion was. Let me see. Anyway, and it should state projects outside of the Junction City urban growth boundary is really what it should say on page 3. So that would just be a clerical update, and we could just take that along as we work through this.
So just to be clear, you're saying there was other updates to that language, but it looks like the update on page 3 was just missed.
Yeah, there was an update. That paragraph on page 2 was updated, and there was another one towards the back that was also updated. But it looks like just that one place was missed. So, but if you read the minutes, it's clear that council's vote was to extend it out to the urban growth boundary. So that's that item. And then okay, and then on the issue of terms, if you go to attachment D, I've given you, well, let's back up a little bit. Let's start with C. So if you looked at that, that's a page out of the budget law manual from the state, and that talks about having terms that alternate and are staggered. So budget law is pretty specific on that. That's why we have terms for 3 years and a certain number of them end every year. So then what I did in attachment D was I took that language and put it into a paragraph that I think could be inserted into the RLF fund criteria. So that's what attachment D is. And another point that I included, I had a discussion with the city recorder, and we talked about like how would that be applied and if council made that change and what the year end would be. So she suggested that we make that year end for those terms anyway to be September 30th. A couple of reasons for that. That will help the in that you've got some committee members that have just been appointed. So if you make it September 30th, then you don't have to do anything to those current terms. If you tried to apply this like right now, that means you'd be shortening somebody's term. And I would imagine that'd be very difficult to apply. So applying this at the end of, you know, when the September 30th would be at the end of these terms, it would be easy enough to reappoint and then stagger them at that time. And staff would take care of the mechanics of that in the background as far as doing the advertising and those kind of things.
So the people that are just appointed would still serve for 2 years because we appointed them around September 30th anyways.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
See, and then, so in 2 years, so would that be 2023, you just have to stagger them at that time. So that was a suggestion from the city recorder, which seems to work really well.
Well, I have a question, Mike.
Uh-huh.
Is there a chance that we can do something else with this money? It's been sitting for a long time, and I see that we had a loan that went out that never got paid back, like in the tune of $200,000. Guy left town to send this guy's money, but that we as a council could put that somewhere else to good use?
Well, that's a council discussion.
But I mean, it's something we can move around if we so choose to think about it.
Well, I'm not generally the staff member that takes care of the RLF fund, but from what I've listened and heard, I believe it is at the council's discretion as to how this money is used and budgeted.
So I won't say Mike said.
So that would be council question, or city administrator could, you know, review that with you.
Okay, well, good. So I think another nice thing about September 30th is that it doesn't coincide with when the councilors are changed. So if councilors were changed at the annual meeting, who was on the committee or whatever, then, or the mayor, it wouldn't be at the exact same time as the committee members were being changed. So I see another nice reason for September 30th being the time for those committee members. But I like what you've done here. I like it a lot on both of those points. And again, this committee was specifically tasked with discussing that issue. So now I think we have done that. I think you've come up with a good solution, and it looks good in print too. So any other comments on that right now, or what would we like to do with that? It looks like we can send it on to the rest of the council, or we could tell our staff some more things. Councilor Thomas?
I think we just send it back to council for discussion, probably.
Perfect.
Okay.
I'm fine with that, too.
Okay, get send that scheduled.
The direction from the committee. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. And that brings us back to another item we've discussed in the past. So thank you again for bringing it back to us. Let's take a look at the updated donation policy that we're considering.
Okay, so I did throw in one additional example, and kind of in anticipating some of the discussion, kind of some of the things that are still highlighted here, I gave you the examples that you had in your packet last month also. So I didn't want to just drop them out quite yet. I guess where I would start is we didn't talk about the attorney's comments last time. And so I'd like to kind of get your, if you're okay with what our attorney put in, you know, I'd like to kind of check those off. And those are the items. So in the attachment A, in the current draft, you'll see on page one, there's some stuff in yellow about the middle. So she just asked that we, you know, verify that that's the language that you want. So that one is just a general, you know, pretty general statement. And then the other one, let's see. Oh, right above that, I got to keep track of my colors here, but the stuff that's where I've got the blue box, so I crossed off. She wanted us to put in the actual reference, you know, what we call our fiscal policies. So I just put fiscal management policies. I mean, that's generally what we call them. And then the other one, page three.
Mike, what does CC1 and CC2 mean? It's on page one there at the end of the...
That's just reference to who actually typed that comment. Because in track changes in this document, it keeps track of who wrote what.
Okay.
So that was from the legal firm. And then on page three, she wanted to confirm that this is what we wanted. And I don't remember if we specifically talked about it. I think it might have come up, but this is under the real estate portion, and it talks about donor to provide, you know, the initial environmental review, which I think is she mentioned is typical. And then following that, just a few sentences down, you see where it specifically says environmental audit shall be at the expense of the donor. So she just wants us to confirm those things, or wants the council to. And then the last item from the attorney was on page five. And that was a pretty generic statement where it just talks about quality services to residents and encouraging community growth. I mean, you could change that if you wanted to, but it's pretty generic. So that was her comments that I really wanted to check off the list here before we go on to kind of divide and conquer.
So you sent over attachment A to the city attorney, and then those were the comments that they made. And you're just pointing out to us that she specifically, or the council specifically, noted those things.
Yeah, she actually, they started, they gave us the initial template.
Okay.
And then we've started to make changes and, as we've discussed things here.
May I speak?
Yeah.
I think one of the biggest concerns were there was a lot of donations, and so we wanted to make sure about that they were getting logged, mm-hmm. and that we weren't going out and just soliciting them and for amounts. And I guess receipts hadn't been given out in the past, is the way I understood. I'm not sure, maybe I misinterpreted mm-hmm. what was said. So that there is a record where if somebody wanted to information act, mm-hmm. they could go to the city and pay whatever it is they had to pay to see what had been donated, how much, and what department it went to, or just everything to go to the city. And if it's a certain amount, if it should come to council before we accept that donation, and that
would
at least we're made aware of what.
Well, that's addressed. So the committee, you know, previously discussed that, obviously. So those items, if you look on page five,
uh-huh, that's where I'm at.
You remember we had that list,
right?
And so you directed me to consolidate that into language that would be in here, And when I put it all together, I was actually a little surprised it was so short. It's that red section in the middle of page 5.
Oh, wait, I was trying to say that's what we want. That is what we were looking for, and that's what I was reading.
Yeah.
But that was the reason that we did.
So, yeah, you'll see that everything we discussed, or that you discussed anyway, is there. So you have, the log shall be recorded in the central log that includes these items, description, date, received, value. Some other things, so donor restrictions, if any, and disposition of the gift. Log is available to the public upon request through the city's public records request process. And item B, authorized individuals who may seek donations on behalf of the city. So we didn't talk about specific people. One thing you could consider, I looked at those other examples to see what they did. And one of them I picked out said the city administrator, department director, or designee. And so it'd be up to you if you want to make that more restrictive or less.
Actually sounds empty, so
no. I think that's a good question.
As somebody in the audience, is she allowed to? I mean, I don't know if she has anything, but she's been pretty quiet.
Yeah, we're actually...
I have to be.
Yeah, well, today we have a unique experience in that Councillor Wells isn't here, so if Councillor Leach participates, we're not breaking our quorum rules.
Oh, I never thought about that.
So a lot of times we can't necessarily invite her to comment,
right,
but today we actually could. I mean,
yeah.
So that's, if you have anything you wanted to mention about that, Karen, that's fine. I think that's a good question, Mike, and I think we should bring that up at least at council, even if we discuss a little bit here. But it's not real clear from that. Maybe you're asking us to fill in the blank there, or maybe you're asking the city administrator to fill in the blank. But like if we say, or designee, then I think that leaves it up to the city administrator to designate people. If we fill in the blanks ourselves, I don't know what that does if we ever want to change what's in the blanks, I guess. If we leave it to the city administrator, I think...
I mean, with the language that I threw out there, I mean, it does leave it up to the city administrator pretty much, as long as... the city administrator or a department director or somebody that they designate. So to me, that means city staff, obviously, but it doesn't really restrict, who could solicit donations in some way.
They've been designated, right?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Well, you said it doesn't really restrict who could solicit donations, and then I'm asking the question, but it does restrict it to people that have been designated, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Which I think is something that the council would like. We don't want random people to be out there soliciting donations for the city.
Yes, that's true. It would be restrictive in that way.
So, but I like that language you just threw out there. It's different than the language in the actual printout. So I kind of like what you said better than what's in the printout where the blanks are. Because I like those three things you said, personally. I think that's a good list.
I think...
Go ahead. Yeah.
That I agree. I think that that would... I think it's specific enough that if it won't be random... wanting donations without the administrator being aware and, some talking about it. And I think that is what's so important. And I think that, I agree. This, it needs to go through you know, to be designated, like you said, not just, yeah.
Yeah, so if you take that as a comment, maybe instead of having the blanks there when it goes to council, we could just put those three words in you mentioned.
Well, do you want me to put it in the draft that goes to council, or do you want them to discuss it first? Or put it in and point it out?
Yeah, I kind of like to put it in, like, the way you said it.
I agree.
I thought I heard you say that you thought that too. So. Okay.
Okay.
I think it sews up a loophole.
So, and then the last issue, I believe, on my list that we talked about, I was trying to remember why this came up, and actually you brought it up. In the example from Goleta, it talked about, let's turn there. So that's attachment C. And you mentioned section 4, so on page 1, where it talks about the acceptance of donations. And subsections A, B, C, etc. under that talk about donations, for example, of items valued up to $5,000 or below may be accepted by a department director. And then item B was items up to or between $5,000 and $10,000 may be accepted by the city manager or city administrator in our case. And then items valued at more than $10,000 must be taken to council. So if you wanted to include some kind of language like that, I guess I would suggest that you might consider the amounts that you pick, because amounts in a policy can get out of date kind of fast. So I'm not sure if $5,000-$10,000 would be a good, good place to start. You might want to start higher, or even lower. A couple of things just to point out. So in our draft, kind of the difference on this point between that example and the sample as we have it now from the attorney is on this point, it's pretty easy to administer. She put in there that the city administrator may request council approval. So it's pretty much left up to the city administrator. It's kind of the way I see it. One problem, though, that I see in that is that if all, with the current language, then it kind of sounds to me like all donations. So if Shop with a Cop gets a $10 donation, that still has to be reviewed by the city administrator. At least that's the way I read it. That's in the current draft. So if you stuck with that language, we might want to change that a little bit.
Yeah, these are good questions. And I like it when we have stuff prepared so we can have a hearty discussion of things. One of the things that I believe in as a counselor, which I'm going to presume other people do too, but obviously everybody can clarify it for themselves, but there's three ways, we benefit our citizens, right? So I think Mike and the rest of the staff do a great job of representing the city, and a lot of times I prefer to work on representing the citizens. So a lot of the citizens care about the cost of providing the services that we provide, right? Mm-hmm. I think that's pretty well accepted, that people want certain services, but they want those services for as cheap as possible, but as well maintaining a certain level. So most of the people in our town wouldn't complain if the taxes went down a percentage point or 2 percentage points, especially if you could make the argument that the services that they really want would stay the same. Donations is a window that allows us to potentially decrease the cost of the government services we provide without lowering the services, right? So donation is a window. So if somebody who loves Junction City dies and they bequeath Junction City a gift at the time of their passing on, this policy opens up the ability for us to actually promote that. So, hey, you've lived in Junction City for 30 years, you love Junction City, why not donate some of your estate to the city? Well, when that estate comes into the city, our good staff would make good use of that, and that in effect would lower the cost to everybody else in town of providing the services that we have. So I love this idea, I love the policy, but I'm hoping that our policy, this policy will actually promote accepting and receiving donations, not stymie that practice in our city. I don't want to make it so less people donate to the city by making a donation policy. I'm hoping that it will open the door to more people donating to the city, and by doing so, lowering the cost to our citizens of providing the services that Junction City does. And I think a lot of our citizens would be very much in favor of a lower cost while maintaining the services. So if somebody donated $50,000, now we can pay for a street paving project without raising the taxes or spending the money that we've already collected from the citizens. So all of that is just a little background to say, I don't want to put things into this policy that slow down the process of donations. I like the ideas that have been requested, that we have a log and we know what the donations are coming in and their value and whatnot. But I don't want to add a bunch of things that make it more difficult, like in terms of speed. So if somebody wants to make a donation and it's $10,000, but we can't accept that donation until we get it before council, which may be 3 weeks or 4 weeks or 2 weeks or 10 days later, sometimes the opportunity has passed. They're available to make the donation right now, but if they have to wait 3 weeks to make it official, who knows if they still have. So that's just my opinion on that. Obviously, it's going to go to council, but I don't want to make the city administrator review everything. I certainly don't want to make the council review everything. I trust our staff to receive, especially under the direction of the city administrator, I trust our staff to receive donations that help lower the cost of government. Yeah, so that's my opinion on that. And the details of that, honestly, and with the $5 million budget in town, reviewing every $5,000 thing, that actually seems like too low of a number. A lot of things could be over $5,000 pretty easily. I don't necessarily think we shouldn't review anything as a city council, but I would pick a number that's higher than $5,000 or $10,000. The department heads can spend that much without me signing off on it. I don't know why they can't receive a donation without me signing off on it. But that's just some comments. Anybody else have comments on those two questions that Mike asked? He asked about the amount and then also the time frame for, and also the city administrator review. So I guess there's three things he asked about there.
Yeah, I've kind of got a list here, actually, going in my head. It occurred to me that, another alternative would be that you could just insert a sentence that establishes that gifts over a certain dollar amount, just a single dollar amount, that the city administrator would take to council. And maybe that one number would be $20,000 or some larger number.
My Feel free, I want you to feel like a work session here because we're just discussing this. So I'm gonna keep coming, but you feel free to comment too if you haven't. I think it might make sense if that number matched people's spending authority, which I don't know what that number is, but I know different department heads and the administrator.
I think it's 5,000.
Have different numbers that they can, you know, they can write a check for without bringing it to council. I don't, like I said, I don't know what that number is, but maybe if the donation policy matched that, we're basically saying you can spend it and you can also receive it, and it's consistent.
Well, it's $5,000 for a department head and $15,000 for the city administrator, outside of emergency situations.
Okay.
So I don't know if those numbers would be appropriate. Those numbers are, were established a number of years ago, so they're not real up to date, but it is the numbers that we use. Those are the limits we use right now.
So if it's over 5,000 for a department head, do they have to get it approved by the administrator, or do they have to bring it to council if it's over 5,000?
Well, it depends on which language you pick. Now, the example sample in attachment A, I believe, or no, not A, sorry, C. Okay, so that one has these steps. So it allows department heads to accept donations up to 5,000 and the city administrator up to, wasn't it 10,000? 10,000. And then beyond that, it goes to city council.
So the city administrator could accept a gift for 8,000 that was brought to him by the department head, but they can accept it for 8,000 because that would, I'm just saying hypothetically.
Right, yeah, if you're using numbers. These numbers.
So it doesn't necessarily come to the council unless it's over 15,000. And again, hypothetically, if we chose those same numbers.
Well, over 10 in this, I mean,
well, I know, but I'm talking about that other number, but the spending authority.
Oh, okay, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, I've said my piece here, so feel free to let somebody else comment too. I'm not trying to hog the mic.
Well, I kind of like the idea that it's handled by the city administrator just because it kind of, if you get too many staff members taking donations, then it can get, just to keep everybody transparent and clear, much easier that way than having each department being able to go, you know, to take the money. But that's my thought on it. I like transparency and for our citizens to see. Where it's going and what it is that's going and how it's going and how we got there. And I can't imagine there is a place for declined donations. Of course, I guess if there was a conflict of interest somewhere, that would figure
well, out. Well, we've discussed at a staff level, so some of the things that you know, might come through. I mean, things like for the police department or a vehicle or real estate, those are kind of the things that these kind of policies seem to kind of be addressing. You know, some of the legal things that the attorney put in, like environmental things, you know, those have to do with real estate. And things that are that large are probably going to come to council anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And if you set an amount like $20,000, then any real estate is going to come to council. So, you know, I think that's a good distinction. If you think about the amounts, it probably doesn't make too much difference if you set the amounts as steps, you know, the department at a certain level, because if it's above that amount, they're going to go to the city administrator anyway. So really, I think the key amount is what takes it to council. I think that's really the key one. I don't think the department one is that much of an issue, but I think that level for the city administrator, I think, is the important one. And
Well, I'd like this to go on to the council for further discussion there. They're gonna need to discuss it at some point anyways. I'd be curious what you would recommend that number to be. You mentioned that those numbers are a little outdated or that they've been there for a long time. So, I mean, I'm not saying this represents anybody else on council. I'm just saying I'm comfortable with the people's spending limit. Like, I think that's a good number because they already have that authority, right?
Yeah.
So if you would recommend a different number than that, I'd love to hear your recommendation.
Well, I threw out, kind of some of the things that we've seen recently. And so, I don't know. The committee could forward a couple of suggestions for council. And, I could also get the city administrator's opinion. But it kind of seems like the $5,000 or $10,000, is kind of the lower number for the city administrator. It seems like it should be over $10,000. I mean, it depends on, I guess, what we think we might get, but somewhere in that area, but yeah. Council could have that discussion and, we could leave that as an open item.
Yeah, I think you've done a good job. I think it's time to bring it to council for that fuller discussion, and we might have to send it back a couple times for edits or whatever at the council level. But
are you more interested in doing the department level and a city administrator level, or just a city administrator level?
I'm more interested in personally, just I'm more interested in the delay, right? I know donations are a fickle thing. I mean, any salesperson will tell you that donations are a fickle thing. Like, if they tell you they're going to be on the bus and come back to you later, normally they don't. Mm-hmm. Right? So I don't want to bog it down and say, thank you so much for being willing to donate this, but we can't accept it until we have 3 more meetings and blah, blah, blah. Right? So I'd like to give the city administrator a lot of leeway here. I just would. That's just where I sit. So, because I don't want to miss it because we take too long to do our paperwork. I don't want to create a bureaucracy. I mean, what we have in here, I think, is really reasonable. You could write that out in a pen and put it in the log, and you're golden. It doesn't. And then you give them a receipt within 10 days. That doesn't slow anything down. I'd be inclined to give the city administrator a pretty big number in terms of being able to accept stuff.
Okay.
But like I said, I'm not sure.
Well, maybe start with the last number, 10,000, and go up to 15,000. There's not too many people that are going to jump right in there and give that kind of money, but sometimes they do. How often?
So we'll say committee recommendation is at least 10, but also discussed 15.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's really interesting. Colleges, we live at these colleges. Sometimes people go to college for just a few years, but colleges make their living off of this kind of stuff, and they make it by promoting it all the time. You're right, probably not very many people donate to cities, but how many cities promote it? Every time I get a magazine from a college, they have a whole full page ad in that magazine promoting the donation. Like, hey, donate to the college. Well, I'm kind of thinking when you look at this, I'm like, I lived at a college for like 2 years, and they've asked me for donations like 5,000 times. I've lived in Junction City for 25 years, and Junction City has never asked me for a donation.
Mm-hmm. They get your taxes. We get your taxes.
The colleges do too.
Well, a lot of donations.
Absolutely.
A lot of donations are, and looking at some of the examples and things online, you get the impression that a lot of donations that cities receive are for, let's say, parks, mm-hmm. maybe a piece of equipment, a bench, or you got a senior center, or community center, you know, things like that, that may not necessarily be cash. It might be something tangible. So, you know, this is meant to cover all that stuff. So then, just on this point, to finish just this one point, then is it a yay or nay on the department level limit? Do you want to just forego that and just leave it up to the city administrator?
Well, our language kind of does that in some ways right now, because it does say designee. So when mm-hmm. we include that in there, we're saying we trust the administrator to pick people that he trusts or she trusts. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And so if it's a designee, well, how much does each designee have the authority to receive, right? All of a sudden, it's not like the only designees would be department heads. Potentially, a designee could be anybody.
Yeah.
So maybe my idea about matching it to their spending limit doesn't really apply, because a designee doesn't have a spending limit. So the more we discuss this, the more I'm leaning toward your point, which is the critical number is what requires it to go to council.
Yeah.
Everything below that is, in essence, under the city administrator.
Okay.
So that, I see your point, so I'm leaning that way. You know, I don't know what other people are saying or thinking.
Yeah, I think a little, you know, like you said, it's a small amount at 10,000 now, but raise it and see what the other, what council thinks.
Okay, the other things I'm kind of trying to keep track of here. So in the current draft, right above that section, well, actually it's on page 1. It talks about, let's see, it's the very last paragraph. City shall notify the donor and acknowledge receipt of the gift within 10 days. I would suggest making that a little more reasonable, like 30 days. I mean, you got to give staff enough time to respond.
That makes sense.
I mean, you got mail time and stuff like that. And then the other thing that I forgot to mention, so I included attachments E and F. So a sample receipt and a donation agreement that could be used. And I think these have the basics that we need. So this form would serve as the input for a log. You get your basic information, things like if they want to restrict the gift, they can list what that is. And if it needs to be anonymous, they can check that box. So I took these out of the examples, kind of read through them all and took the best out.
This looks really simple and easy, and I think people like simple and easy when they're...
Yeah. So if those are okay...
And yet we have a tangible, something that somebody wants it, it's on record.
Yep, this is a great form, mm-hmm. in my opinion. I think
it is.
You've done a very nice job. I was worried that this form was going to be very cumbersome. And this is not at all. It's easy peasy. You can fill it out and donate. Go ahead.
This just flew by me. If the person wants to be anonymous, it will be aware, the person will be known by the city administrator, correct?
I would think so.
Okay, well, I'm just trying to make it
certain
clear
staff.
So that somebody is aware of who this person is. And, you know, will respect them being anonymous. But I don't, what am I trying to say here?
No.
That it's not, somebody, it's, everything's on the up and up. You know what I mean? It's all legitimate. It's a donation that is good, and the person or people that are doing it, it's all above board and good, and the administrator would know. You know, who this person is. Not that anybody else needs to know, but that they're comfortable with it.
But whatever amount or whatever it is would not be
anonymous. No.
Because that's...
Right.
Of course, if I donated $5,000, I'd certainly want that taken off of my taxes. or whatever, you know, it was a reasonable amount.
Yeah.
But
I think anonymous means, and I've thought about how would this actually work, but I think anonymous means, so then we would not list it on the log with a name.
Yeah.
Right, okay. Sure.
Since that's public record, you know, that would fulfill the wish of the donor.
Yeah.
How they get a tax deduction for that is, you know, maybe a technical issue that we'd have to look into.
Right, but see, they would still have their receipt.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm thinking, yeah.
You would still have this, which has their name on it, but this isn't public record if they check anonymous. I mean, it's like a redaction, right? When somebody makes a public public information request, the governing body gets to redact stuff from that request. Just because they make the request doesn't mean they get all the information.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's how anonymous would work.
Yeah.
My name is still on this form. I made the donation. I still get a tax receipt, but by checking anonymous there, then if somebody does a public information request, we all understand that we're not going to see the name.
Yeah. Because a lot of people, they are happy to donate, but they don't want everybody to know that. I mean, they're not...
Yeah.
I know a lot of people that do a lot of neat things, but they don't want people to know it.
Right.
This is their private thing, and so just so that they're covered, that the city is covered also.
Yeah, because I think what you're saying, Councillor Thomas, is true. Like, I think they could still get a tax-deductible thing. It just isn't public record once they check anonymous. No. I'm not saying that's true. I'm just talking it out, right? It seems to me what you've done here makes total sense. And the public log would just say anonymous there, but on this piece of paper, you still have their name, and the designee, whether it be the city administrator or somebody else, would know who gave the donation. And somewhere in the archives, there would be this form with that person's name on it, you know? But anyways, have we covered it?
I think so.
So do you want me to make these changes and bring it back, or you want me to make the changes and forward it to council?
I'm ready to forward it to council myself. We're going to discuss it there again, so if you made the changes and...
The last one on page one, will have to be changed to reflect... the city administrator taking items over a certain dollar amount to council. So I'll adjust that accordingly, and it'll be in red on the council's draft.
For us to discuss the number.
Sure. I think you'll see it. And then, so this would be the draft that I would take, and then with these changes. And then, as in, I think, one or two of these examples, the... sample receipt and acknowledgement, those would become part of the policy, so they'd be like attachments to it, which is what the other ones did. So, okay, great. I will do that.
Good job, Mike.
Well, thank you.
I know. I say he's the smartest guy.
Well, of course.
Well, careful.
Thank you.
Okay, well, good. Nice to check off some of these things that we've been tasked with. So, that brings us to the agenda forecaster. So, I really like that we checked off a couple things. You want to go ahead, Mike? I mean, Director.
Well, I was just going to update you on a couple of items and maybe ask a question or two. I checked in with Kitty on the public records item. It's still in process, so she's going to need a little more time. So that isn't ready for November, but she definitely will want to bring that. The master fee schedule, I have a question for committee. So if you recall, that's just a compilation of all the fees that the city charges for various things, everything from utilities to park rental, all in one document. The important point on that is that all of those fees are previously approved and adopted by council. So it doesn't set any fees, and there's nothing in there that isn't adopted by council. So my question is, does this committee really want to review it? You're certainly welcome to.
Kind of like one of those other steps we don't need.
Well, I like to ask the question.
Right. Thank you for asking.
Otherwise, I'm sitting here.
If we did review it, would it go straight to council instead of being reviewed here? Or is that,
yeah.
Like, why do we review it? What's the background to that?
Well, generally, when we first started doing the master fee schedule, I think a few years back, 5 years maybe, my thought was that generally on things that, you know, the finance department is maybe suggesting that we start doing or whatever, is that, you know, you're the committee that I bring things to. And I guess the thought was I didn't want to take something to out of finance directly to council and not have the committee, you know, have a chance to see it. But, you know, I don't know if that's still the feeling. I think that was more at a staff level. I don't recall having direction, you know, specific direction on that point. But you're welcome to. I'm hoping to have it available as a draft certainly by the next committee meeting. And what we could do, if you wanted to see it, I could take it from committee, and then if you're fine with it, take it to council in the same month. And that way it would get adopted or approved anyway in 2021, which is kind of the goal.
Right.
So that would work.
Yeah, I mean, I like seeing it one way or the other, but like you said, it's not something that we're changing or even really editing in the committee, which may have been a little different 5 years ago or 4 years ago when you first did it the first couple of times. Like, I like the council being aware of that and having that in their hands at least once a year, so we're kind of aware of what the citizens are being charged for different stuff. You know, I've always liked having that and reviewing it at least annually, but I don't necessarily know that the committee needs to review it separate from the council, because I don't know that we're going to do anything with it. So.
Does that save you a little stuff or two?
Well, yeah. I mean, if I don't need to bring it here, it certainly would save some time. So,
I'm okay with
it. Is that an agreement? Okay to send directly to council? Okay. That was the only comments I wrote down.
Okay, so
I kind of started a list for items for possible agenda for next month.
Yeah, well, good. That's good. So why don't we put we really do need to do the fiscal policy for the budget stabilization fund. It'd be great if we could get that in November, so we can. That's another thing that council directed to us. And what do you think about having that discussion in November? Would that be okay, Director Crocker?
Yeah, that'd be fine.
Okay. We had a first take at it at that meeting where the council was all together, but they directed it over to this committee, and I was hoping we'd get to that before the end of the year, since council had directed it to us. So other than that, the rest of these you could fill in, you know, as they were ready from staff. because they're different, you know, they're just different stuff that you have a better idea of when they're coming to us or when they're ready for us than we do, so. And I don't mind if you put two or three of those ones on the agenda for November and another two or three for December, and we pretty much will have got through our list.
Well, we've talked about the budget list or bucket list pros and cons. That's a committee council item.
I thought we talked about that when we did the budget allocation discussion. Did we not do that one? Okay, then we need to do
not officially.
Yeah. Okay. That's fine. Yeah, let's put that one in there too then. You're right, that's another one. I just thought we'd already, I thought that was tied together with the allocation discussion, so I'm sorry about that.
I really need to work on the professional credit service contract, but it just needs to get done.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I'd like to say I'd try and get it done by November, but I'm kind of hesitant to put it on. November is going to come fast, and that's got to go through a few other hands before it comes to you. The purpose statement is the other one, I think.
We had a good first discussion of that one, so I wouldn't mind if you put that back on there if there's some room.
But okay.
We talked about that briefly, and then we asked you a couple questions. But you're right, that's going to come back to us at some point.
Okay, too. Well, that'd be three good items. So, yeah, that would work. Okay.
Okay, any other business? Okay. Well, thank you, Councilor Leach, for joining us tonight. Councilor Thomas, thanks for coming out. We wish Councilor Wells well, and thank you, Director Crocker, for being here too, and for all your work. So, I'm going to adjourn the meeting at 7:45 p.m. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Are we going to be done with this soon?
Thank you.